So we'll welcome to the Sunday night. There is a solution, newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make comments or ask questions about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Tonight, we welcome Margaret from Belleville, a compulsive overeater. Go ahead, Margaret. Do I need to unmute her?
Thank you. Thanks for the assistance with the unmuting. Good evening, everybody. My name is Margaret, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Belleville, Ontario. And I want to start by just saying thank you to my good friend Donna, as well as Jessica, for the invitation to speak to you this evening. I just wanted to also say that I don't speak for Overeaters Anonymous. I'm going to share my own experience, strength, and hope. And I'll share with you what it used to be like, what happened, and what I'm like now. So in terms of what it used to be like, I was the baby of five kids in a very busy household. And the mantra of my mother, my father worked a lot of hours, and the mantra of my mother was, "We just all need to get along." And I have a very hardwired memory of whenever I, whenever you were as a little one having troubles or issues, if I needed my mom, she would be there and present with me. But her action would be to sit me down or sit any of us down on one of the little bar stools by our kitchen table. And she would immediately bring across cookies or pie or whatever it was that she baked that day. And I have way back to when I was just a little girl, that really hardwired memory of food is love, and especially sweet is love. And interestingly, through my young years at home, in terms of I really was a normal eater all through my youth and teen years. And it wasn't until I went away to college and then on to university that I started to struggle with food. And really, especially when I started to date and have love relationships, and not really knowing how to express my feelings. And it kind of came back to that household of we just need to get along, that there wasn't really the outlet to be to express emotion or dissatisfaction or just whatever was rolling around in my mind from an emotional perspective. And so I really didn't learn how to express my feelings, and combined with people pleasing and a high self-will meant that I didn't talk about what was going on for me, versus I tried to make my life work on my terms and ultimately wanting you to like me. So, superficiality also was how I really looked after myself or looked at myself. The car I drove, the house I lived in, the purse I carried, the job I had. And I wasn't ever really accepting of myself. I really didn't feel that I was enough because I, continued to gain weight in my adult years. Shopping, I would say, was also my companion vice. It was for sure this pair of pants with the latest spandex was going to make me look thin, so buy those. And then within short order, realizing that they never did make the difference in terms of my body weight. So I would obsess about getting thin, creating plans, going to pay and ways, but also, thinking about exercise. And I would do all sorts of research, determining which gym membership I should get, What type of gym shoes were the right ones for what I needed, and spend like all sorts of energy creating spreadsheets. And then ultimately, I would do nothing. I would stay at home. I isolated and I ate in secret. I went up in when I went up in weight, obviously. I wasn't interested in intimacy, my self-confidence, my self-respect. Also too, just my negative self-talk really was very present in my mind. I felt awful about myself and was very conscious about how heavy I was. I was the my top weight was 208 pounds, and I'm 5 foot 6. But I also had no clue as to how I could stop compulsively eating. With the pain weighs, I did go down in weight at times, and that would make me feel sexy and confident. However, I barely could keep it together. I was hanging on for dear life in terms of having no sense of how I could sustain the pay and weigh model on an ongoing basis, because food was what I knew to be able to help me cope and navigate through life, and importantly, navigate my emotions. I tried to control all elements of my life and those of the other people in my life. To little and no avail. My mind was always strategizing, planning, thinking, if this, then that, and how am I going to get that person to do what I need them to do? And not surprisingly, they never did what I really thought they should be doing. So what ended up, ended was two marriages, through two marriages, two divorces. I ate to soothe the pain, and I didn't, I came out still not knowing how to talk about what was going on for me. And prior to OA, I never knew anyone who was like me with food. I lived in Toronto. I attended a number of sessions at Sheena's Place down on Spadina that were focused on eating disorders, but primarily the people in those sessions tended to be anorexics and not binge eaters. And my issue was around binge eating. And I was always eating and hiding, eating in secret, having normal meals in front of my husband at work. Going through drive-throughs, I was always a bit panicked that I'd always hide the wrappers underneath the driver's seat. The panic that if my husband offered to take the car to the car wash, I would be like, no, it's fine, it's fine, because I would be in fear that he would think about vacuuming the car and see, lots of wrappers and bags, and just living on that sort of razor sharp fear of being found out for this, this what felt like a terrible secret. Also too, I just didn't feel great in my body when I was eating the way I did. Every day I would get up and I would, recommit to myself that today was going to be different. I was going to not overeat. I was only going to eat the food that I brought for lunch. But, by the end of the day, heading back on the subway home, I had, not been successful in terms of being able to stay abstinent. And mentally, I really beat myself up about that, because I did feel that I had, that I had the ability to control, that it was within my own self that I should be able to do this. And I'll talk a little bit more about how that has changed, fortunately. The other thing is, my friends and family never asked me about why I was gaining weight, including both my husbands. They were always supportive of me in our good British way, where we never talk about anything and just kind of go along like the elephant in the room is not actually there. And I knew at the same time that they loved me, but there was just this awkwardness around my awkwardness, and I think theirs as well. I certainly did a ton of self-help book reading, and it was interesting. I'd mentioned I just recently moved to Belleville. Actually, it's now, believe it, almost 4 years. But when I was cleaning out my bookshelf, I pulled out hundreds of books, of self-help books, and I thought to myself, no, all I need now is my big book. I do also have AA or OA materials, and I thought that's all I need. All these other self-help books, they never had the answer, but certainly the big book for me did have the answer. It also has helped me in terms of knowing how to deal with my emotions and to better understand why at times I had that impulse to eat. In that time, though, I was really living a lie and I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin and I was lost and I just really didn't know how to become my authentic self. And sort of a culmination of being divorced for the second time and my parents passing away within a few months of each other in 2014, I actually was talking to a grief counselor and I was saying to the grief counselor how I was tired of using food as the means to managing life. And she told me about OA. Between 2014 and 2023, I attended, an average of at least three meetings a week, sometimes more, sometimes one almost every day. And I felt that I was really taking action because I was going to meetings. For me, going to meetings, did not get me abstinent. Meetings allowed me to feel, though, that I wasn't alone. That I felt supported by a group of people who were similar to me. And in hindsight, I think that was a problem for me personally, because I think it minimized for me the extent to which I was compulsive with food, and that I needed to find the solution outside myself, as in a power greater than myself. To help me with my compulsive eating. It really was a slow chronic pain that never definitively signaled to me that I really had lost control of my life because of my overeating. And I often thought of it different than drugs or alcohol, where perhaps you may find yourself waking up next to someone and asking yourself, who is this? How did I get here? What am I doing with my life? With food, it was that insidiousness that I knew something was wrong, but it wasn't sort of that blatant in my face messaging that I needed to change what it was that I was doing. And this was all while I was actively in OA. I didn't have a startling experience. Sorry, I also had a sponsor, however, during that time, and I never, again, never told them what was really going on for me. So, despite the fact that I spoke to them twice a week, again, all of my emotions, I just kept them all inside, good and bad, wasn't sharing. I did service at meetings at the intergroup level. I read the big book back to front, did all sorts of different workshops and OA 12 and 12. And in some ways in my mind, I kind of thought like I was the poster child of OA, but I was the furthest thing from it because I wasn't abstinent. I still was carrying that probably at that point, 200 pounds, which was not an appropriate body weight for me. Dishonesty through omission and people pleasing has really been the center of how I've lived my life. And, certainly, it has been a journey for me about being able to be honest with people who I share with. And also knowing that they're still going to be okay with me after I tell you who I really am and what I really do with food. And that felt for me as though that was a very substantive thing to do because I'd never really opened up to anybody about what was really going on for me, especially with food. And I had a lot of guilt and shame around what I did with food. And I obviously had a lot of secrets that I kept, and that in itself was frightening that people would find out what my secrets were. And I was felt that I was living a life that lacked integrity, and that did feel awful to me. I would certainly commit to myself every day that I was going to eat differently and act differently, and I was never able to make that happen. And I remember one day I was it was in the evening, I was going to an OA meeting, and I had picked up some recreational sugar, some dessert, and it was the winter time, and I was sitting in my car in a parking lot outside a grocery store, and I was eating that cake. And I started choking, and I had no water in the car, and I couldn't breathe. I was having trouble breathing. And I was really gasping for air. And I remember once I was able to calm myself down and catch my breath again, I thought, how terrible would it be for my family to find out that I died in the car, choking on a cake, and they knew nothing about what was my problem. And that was a very substantive wake-up call for me, because I was panicking because I really didn't think that I was going to be able to get my breath back. So what happened from there is I was reminded of the fact that I had given up sugar at a point earlier on in my OA days. And I realized that if I had the ability to do that then, I could try that and try to do that again. I would also say that the pandemic opened up a whole new world of meetings. Where it was much easier to get to meetings. But also too, I was hearing other people's stories about how they were working a program that allowed them to have freedom from food obsession one day at a time. And before the pandemic, a lot of the meetings that I went to, there were people who had recovered, but there weren't a lot of people. And so starting to hear different people's stories of recovery and in different ways of how they recovered gave me hope and possibility. The other was our literature, is a message of hope and possibility. Within our big book, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And I started to hear that message from my fellows on Zoom, showing me that they followed the instructions of the big book. And that was the message of hope and possibility for me. In 2023, I was tired of living a life of overeating, of self-inflicted shaming. I was tired of the dishonesty of the secret eating and panic. The big panic for me was post-pandemic and having to see people I hadn't seen for, 2+ years, having gained weight through the pandemic. And that was a big fear for me as well. But I did become willing in May 2023, and I finally surrendered my food to a power greater than myself. And I approached someone at one of the daily meetings I went to because she spoke of having freedom from food working in the AA Big Book. And she scared me for sure because she was really hardcore and she was serious about the disease and as serious as about the solution, which is what I needed. I have daily contact with her. I commit my food. I weigh and measure my food. And I sponsor three sponsees as well in the same way that I am sponsored. But the big thing was I became willing. I finally let go of my will, recognizing that it was, I had spent 10 plus years in OA and not getting the solution that's available to us. And I gave up trying to direct the show. The other big thing is my sponsor really taught me how to love myself again, to be kind to myself. I abused my body for many years, not only physically, but also mentally. I had that morning shaming that I gave to myself every day. And I said to someone not that long ago, I would never let anybody else talk to me in the manner in which I spoke to myself every morning about the disaster of what I had created the night before. So what I'm like now, I realized and accepted the reasons why I overate is that I have a spiritual malady combined with an inability to recognize what I am feeling. I'm strengthening my practice in connecting with my higher power, and I'm learning how to talk about what is truly going on for me. And at times that can be very terrifying. For me, it feels like a big risk to share what I'm afraid of, what I am feeling, and to trust that when I share what is going on for me, my family and friends will support me. Every day, I focus on step one, admitting I am powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. I have a relationship with a higher power and have let go of trying to control my life and the lives of others. Creating a relationship with my higher power was a journey that started with my parents being my higher power. They had both passed away, and they always had my best interests at heart. And so that's where I started. And I'm continuing my journey, understanding my higher power and my spirituality, just through meditation, through reading, etc. I remind myself daily that my addiction can only be arrested by taking the actions described in our literature. Daily, I think of my disease as if I had cancer. If I had cancer, would I daily do exactly what my oncologist told me to do? Absolutely. So I have to remind myself of that and do not allow myself to have any wiggle room to opt out of doing my program work. Just like cancer, this disease can kill me. I am purposeful in my actions to ensure that I'm doing all I can to live an abstinent life just for today. Every morning, I remind myself that I work my program so I get a beautiful life and freedom from the bondage of food. I meditate, I pray, I make a minimum of 3 calls every day and must speak to someone, not just make the call. I read my big book and I read 2 pages nightly, go to meetings, I do service. As I said, I connect with my sponsor. I have sponsees. And I'm also kind to myself, to my mind, body, and soul. And that feels wonderful. One of the other benefits is I've lost 66 pounds. So I'm in a normal body weight for my height. And I've moved from doing life on my will to doing life according to my higher power's will. I've moved from willfulness to willingness. I've moved from despair to hope, from the ability to gain the ability to navigate life's major events in terms of big feelings and managing through those events. I just had to put my little cat down and I live by myself. And that was very hard for me to do. And I did it abstinently. And I really realized through that time, if I had been in the food, I would have not been present for her. And instead, I was able to be present for her, to love her, and to be with her when she needed me most. I've also become very teachable and humble. I also recognize that my own ideas sometimes are not the best and make sure that I have conversations with my fellows to get their input and perspectives. I also accept my body, and I love my body, and I look after myself and care for myself, and be kind to myself. I've, shed a lot of shame, I would say, over the last couple of years. Have a lot more peace, and have rid myself of the mental turmoil. And I'm walking in the journey of recovery with my OA friends, many of who are here, but who I have all across the US and other parts of the world and Canada. And I feel very greatly for that. And I'm living in the present just for today. And mostly love and acceptance, just loving myself as I am. So thank you for the time today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Margaret. That was great.